I don't know if you've noticed, but I've noticed, and it's been quite a while now, that it's becoming obvious that there is more and more disobedience that seems to crop up everywhere. If you look at the amount of traffic violations, for example, it's amazing. Now, I don't drive anymore. I don't sit in the front of the vehicle. I lie down at the back. But every now and then, I just push myself up, and I just see there is a vehicle that drives over a red traffic light. And you hear violations of traffic rules. It's just as if it's just increasing. I believe the scripture teaches us that lawlessness will become more and more as we see the day of Christ's return come closer and closer. But it's just one of those things that you just realize that there is such disobedience even to the laws of the country. And even those people who make the laws, they're disobedient to the laws that they make. And they expect people to follow the law, but they don't follow it themselves. You know, so it's just something that is increasingly becoming a greater problem, I think. Looking at homes where children are becoming disobedient to their parents, I look at schools and how children are disobedient to teachers in the schools, that kind of thing. It is shocking in a sense. But then at the same time, because we have been warned in Scripture that these things will increase as we see the day of Christ approach, we should not be shocked. We should look up and realize that our salvation is drawing closer and closer every day. Even when it comes to religious activities, religious observations, there has been a time in South Africa where people would go to church because everybody else went to church. You know, that kind of thing. A lot of nominal Christians that went to church, but people went to church. They observed all these religious things. And we see that that's no longer there. They don't even worship the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth. They're disobedient to him, who is the ultimate, the one with the ultimate authority, the one that has to be worshipped and has to be praised. As if the world has just fallen into a ditch of disobedience. And this is what Samuel speaks about in 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to read just two verses this morning, verses 22 and 23. God willing, next week I will expand a little bit more because there are certain things that I will not be able to handle in one message. So, but for this morning, we're going to read verse 22 and 23. Before we do that, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning, to be gathered here as a family of believers, those who have been adopted into your family. And Father, thank you so much that we as your children can read your word, listen to your word, and obey your word because you've enabled us through your Spirit. May that be true this morning. As we listen to your word, Father, may it burn into our hearts and drive us to obedience. May it open up our minds to understand so that at the end of the day, we will not just be obedient because we have to be obedient, but we will be obedient because we understand that we need to be obedient. So, Father, we pray, please speak to us through your word, and may your word that goes out this morning not return void, but accomplish that which you set it out to accomplish. And enable me as your servant to teach your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." Now, just quickly, there's a specific context in which these words are written. We can't just take it and generalize it. It is within a specific context. This is Samuel speaking to King Saul. All right, and there's a specific context behind it. We'll get to it just a moment. from now. King Saul was the first human king to Israel. Before King Saul became the king and he was anointed as king, Israel was under what we call theocratic rule, which meant that God was the sovereign king that ruled Israel. He was the one who called the shots. And he would do it through the prophets, and he would speak through the prophets, and then the people had to obey, and obviously he gave his law through Moses, and the people had to obey his law. And if they broke the law, God had the final say. But he did it through the prophets. Now, the nation of Israel didn't want to be different to the nations that surrounded them. In fact, this was the first great rejection of Israel when they rejected God as their king, because they wanted a king just like all the other nations. And that's when they received King Saul as their king. God anointed Saul through the prophet Samuel to become the king of Israel. And obviously, if you read what the scriptures teaches us, God warned the Jews what would happen to them if they come under the rule of a human king instead of being under him. And by the way, those things all came to pass. You can see it through the kings and how bad the kings over Israel was. And when the kingdoms were split up into the northern and the southern kingdom, you could see very few of those kings were godly kings. Most of them were godless. They were bad. They were wicked. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, we get a summary of King Saul's life. Just one verse that summarizes his kingship, if I may. Verse 13 says, in 1 Chronicles 10, he says, "So Saul died." But it says, "For his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance." That was the king that was anointed by God for the people of Israel, because that's what Israel wanted. They rejected God as king, they wanted an earthly king, and that's what they received. And that was the legacy of King Saul. And it's within this context that Samuel speaks to Saul in chapter 15 and tells Saul, "As the Lord great delight in burnt offerings, you do all these religious things that are according to the law. Does God have a delight in these things? As in obeying the voice of the Lord, should you not obey the word of the Lord? Should you not obey what God says to you, Saul? Should you have all these outer paraphernalia of religion, but not be obedient to what God tells you?" Because that's what Saul did. He was disobedient to God. And that was so heartbreaking to see that. Just like Saul, there are those people who observe all kinds of religious requirements. You see, religion is always has got a form, right? Religion is one of those things where you can say, "Oh, this is this religion." And how do we know this is this religion? It's because they've got all these different things that you have to do, all these kind of rituals and all these kind of things that happens within that religion, and you know, oh, that person belongs to that religion. Because it's all these outer things that is done. Samuel turns the page and he says, no. Is those things, when he speaks to Saul and he speaks to a Jew here that is supposed to observe the law of God, they're supposed to do the sacrifices. Those things are all prescribed in the religion of Judaism. But Samuel says to Saul, "Do you think you should do these things? Do you think God is happy about these things? Or do you think God is happy when you obey his voice and you do what he says and what he tells you to do, what he commands you to do?" See, there are so many people who observe all kinds of religious requirements without actually being obedient to the voice of God, being obedient to the word of the Lord in all aspects. Now, Samuel, by the way, he could speak about obedience because he was obedient when the voice of the Lord came to him. It's just amazing if you read what happened to Samuel. And remember last week we looked at Jeremiah's life? And Jeremiah had this excuse, Lord, I cannot speak on your behalf because I'm still a youth, I'm still very young. You know, this excuse. And in giving his excuse, he was challenging God's authority, he was questioning God's sovereignty, he was actually stubborn and rebellious, he was selfish in a sense. That was Jeremiah, praise God. At the end of the day, God placed his word in his mouth and he became a mouthpiece for God and he was obedient to God. He did what God wanted him to do because it was God who actually enabled him to be a prophet to the nations. But Samuel is just amazing. He's just the opposite. He's unlike Jeremiah. When he heard a voice, and by the way, he didn't even know it was God's voice. He just heard a voice and he was obedient to that call. We read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 3. We get this, let me just give you the story and how it unfolds. Samuel was a boy when God called him. Now Samuel's name basically means, I have asked for him from the Lord. That's what the name Samuel means. Now according to Josephus, a first century historian in Israel, or a Jewish historian, he says that Samuel was about 12 years old when God called him. Still a young boy, especially in our eyes. In Jewish tradition, he was on his way to becoming an adult man. But 12 years old when God called him. And what happened was that Samuel's mother prayed for a child because she couldn't bear a child. And God answered his prayer, her prayer, and Samuel was born. And then Hannah, Samuel's mother, gave him to the temple, to the Lord. He said that Samuel will be consecrated to the Lord all of his life because God has given me a son. And she was so grateful for it. That's why his name is means, I have asked for him from the Lord. And she received him. So what happened then was, Samuel went and lived in the temple with Eli, the priest. And this is the backdrop, the context of the calling of Samuel. And then Samuel hears a call. He's on his bed, he hears a call, and he gets up, and he goes to Eli. Because he thought that it was Eli who called him. Now, remember, this is kind of obvious. He's 12 years old, never heard the voice of the Lord before, doesn't know what God sounds like. So he runs to Eli because that's the person that he's connected to. That's his spiritual leader. So he runs to his spiritual leader and he says, here am I. And this happens three times. The fourth time Eli realizes, whoops, this is God calling. This is God calling. It's amazing when you read 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, we read the following. It says, then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, this is Samuel. So the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, no, I did not call. Lie down again. So Samuel immediately obedient. And I want you to see this in comparison to Jeremiah, who had an excuse. Samuel, obedient. Yes, Lord. Well, in this case, he just got up and went to Eli because that's all he knew. He didn't know God's voice at that specific stage. So he says, here I am. So this is kind of in stark contrast to our modern society, isn't it? Because there are times when parents call their children, nah, and what happens? They don't even get a response. They say, Stefan, in my case now. And he would just continue doing his own thing until he decides when it's time to respond. Have you noticed that? I've noticed it. I've actually noticed it, not with my children, but with children in general that I've called. There's no response until they decide it's time to respond. so completely different to Samuel. When he hears the call, he responds immediately because that's who Samuel was. You hardly hear children today respond immediately and saying, "Here I am, Dad! Here I am, Mom!" And off they go quickly to respond to their parents. It's more of a, "Oh, it's them again. Oh, what do they want now? Can't they see I'm playing my games? I'm doing my thing." Because remember, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, when he wrote the letter to Timothy, he said, in the last days, people will be lovers of self. They will be self-centered. They will be involved with themselves. Everything will revolve around themselves. That's what society will look like. And that will be the general society. That's what the world will look like. And unfortunately, that will also be in the church, because Paul was speaking within the context of the church at that specific stage. So it's heartbreaking to hear that Christian children don't even respond immediately to their parents when their parents call them. How in the world will they respond to God? Whose voice they might have never heard, if they don't even respond to the people that they can hear. Now, it's clear from Scripture that Samuel was an upright young boy. I mean, even though he was only 12 years old, he wasn't lazy, and he didn't feel entitled to his own desires being met. He was willing to obey Eli immediately when Eli called. And that tells us something about the character of this boy, of this young man. So we read about this quick response of Samuel as he ran to Eli. And then Samuel responded immediately three times. Notice that. How many of us, remember, we were also children. I was also a child once. It's just fading into the back, you know, into the distant history. But or distant past. But I was a child once as well. I wonder if I would react three times and run to my parents and say, "Here I am." And they say, "No, it wasn't me, just going to lie down again." But Samuel, three times, actually four times. Because the fourth time he answered God and responded to God's call. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 9 says, "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you,'" because this is when Eli realized, but this is God calling, "you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And when God called him, we know that Samuel responded to the call of God on his life. And obviously Samuel became a prophet. And what an example Samuel was. All you need to do is read his life. And it's kind of the opposite of Saul as well. Né? Saul, the king that is supposed to rule over Israel. And what his testimony was, what his legacy was that he left behind in comparison to Samuel, who was obedient from the beginning. Absolutely amazing. It's no wonder that Samuel was used so mightily by the Lord. And I believe that Samuel is an example to each one of us as to what true obedience looks like. Obedience to our parents, to those who are in authority over us in the first place, because that's always a reflection of the obedience that I will have towards God. And then also my obedience to God. What an example Samuel is setting to us. But I want to say to you that I believe our ultimate example is Christ. Christ, who was obedient unto death, death on the cross. When he took our sin upon himself and he died on our behalf. That's an example of obedience, even though he said, "Father, May this cup be passed from me, yet not my will, but thy will be done. Because he knew that he was going to become sin for us. Yet, he was obedient unto death. What an example. Now we read in our passage in Samuel chapter 15, we're back in Samuel 15, that obedience to the voice of the Lord is better than bringing sacrifices and bringing offerings to the Lord. And I believe this is where it gets tricky. This is really where it gets tricky. Being obedient to the voice of the Lord is sometimes hard. God willing, next week I would like to touch on that. Sometimes it's really, really hard to be obedient to the Lord, because God's word sometimes expects things from us that we are not too willing to do, because it could take a lot of humility that I climb off my little high chair and become humble to be obedient to God. Sometimes it means that I have to die to self and to the flesh to be obedient to God. So it's hard. It's very, very hard. I think it's much easier just to be religious. You know, just go through the motions. Do the different religious stuff. I think it's easier. Because if I miss it this week, I can just do it next week. Much easier just to do the religious things, rather than to obey the voice of the Lord, as Samuel says. We'll get to that just now, what it means to obey the voice of the Lord. I believe, beloved, that one of the hardest things for a believer to do is to be obedient to the voice of God at all times. And you might sit there and say, but it's impossible. But that's what God expects from us, is to be obedient. That's what he expects. Now, we might have good intentions. I mean, and believers normally have good intentions. I want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to be obedient to whatever he tells me to do. I really want to be obedient. But isn't it true that we so often fall short of our own good intentions? I might have an intention to do good and to do what God wants me to do and to be obedient to his word, just like Samuel was obedient. But when I find myself doing is the opposite. I act in the flesh. I do what the word tells me not to do. And that's the struggle that we will have in us, because we still have a sinful nature that has a tendency to be drawn to disobedience rather than to obedience. But that's where we should live spirit-filled lives, so that we can do what God wants us to do, so that we can be obedient as he expects us to be obedient, because he enables us. But it's hard, because even our good intentions doesn't measure up to an obedient life and what God expects from us. So the result is discouragement. We become despondent. We sometimes even get to the point where we just want to give up doing anything. We just do nothing. We just start going through the motions. We become religious in our actions rather than obedient to the voice of God. So I want you to see the difference. There is a religion or a religiosity where you have the form of godliness, but you do not have the obedience. You don't have the power of the Spirit that works in you, that drives you towards obedience to the Word of God, and you do what God wants you to do. There's a big difference between the two, and it's so easy for us to fall back to religion, to the form, doing all the right things, well, as far as it's possible. But it's not obedience. Because obedience comes from within. It is a character trait of a born-again believer, somebody that loves God and follows Christ and loves Christ and has been saved. I remember, and I think if you can just think back for yourself, you'll be reminded of moments in your life where you were disobedient. I remember clearly times when I have been disobedient. There have been times where I would have this strong prompting inside of me to speak to someone, to share the good news of the gospel with that person. And I'm just too busy at that moment. Actually, I'm too busy with things that does not pertain to eternal things. I'm just too busy with myself, and maybe I'm just too afraid or whatever, but I'm just too busy or whatever, and I've been disobedient to the Lord's call, to the Lord's prompting to speak to someone. There have been times when I would know what the Scripture teaches, and I would not obey what the Scripture tells me. I would rather do what I wanted to do instead of doing what Scripture wants me to do, because many times what Scripture expects from us or what Scripture teaches us is the opposite of what I feel that I want to do. I shared with some of the members who came to visit us this week about my frustration about my health at times. There are times that I really get frustrated. The thing is, I know what God's Word teaches about this. But to put it into action, to live what God's Word says, that's a different story altogether. So I find myself many times knowing what the Word says, and I know I've got to obey the Word, but I would rather just sulk in my frustration than to have victory through God's Word. So I have numerous examples of moments of disobedience, times of disobedience in my life. Because at the end of the day, I'm human like anybody else. I experience this wrestling inside of myself between the old me and the new me. The one that is drawn towards disobedience and the Spirit of God that prompts me and directs me to be obedient to God's will. So this is kind of a confession as well. Because that's the reality. Because like all other believers, I'm also tempted to be disobedient. We are all tempted to be disobedient. The question is whether we will be disobedient or whether we will be obedient. Because to be obedient is the right thing to do. And let me tell you, that's part of sanctification, and that's something that you and I have to choose. Maybe the best thing is when I get up in the morning, that first thing that I do before I pray or just as I pray is to make a decision and to say, today I'm going to obey the Word of God. It's a conscious decision. I'm going to obey Him today and make it a conscious thing. And as you go through the day, you make sure that you obey God rather than your own flesh or the world or whatever. You obey Him because you made a decision to do it. And by the way, you can only do that because you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. It's only God's people, those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that are able to obey God in all things. It's not possible for those who do not believe. You see, obedience, I believe, is key to living a Christian life. My Christian life stands and falls to my obedience. And it's difficult. It's not easy to be obedient. It takes discipline. That's why I believe one of the fruit of the Spirit is discipline. Now, from the first pages of the Bible to the last pages of the Bible, you will see this one theme right through Scripture. And it's the theme of obedience. It's there, right through Scripture. Remember that God created Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden, And then when he placed them in the garden, he gave them commandments. And one of those things that God said they had to obey was not to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. And it didn't take long for Adam and Eve to be disobedient. And that's how sin entered into the world. That's how sin came into this world, through the disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Now, if we contrast that, so it comes, how can I say, sin enters in through disobedience, through Adam and Eve. And when we get to the New Testament, Christ is perfectly obedient to his Father's will. And he makes it possible that everyone who believes in him from then on will be able to be obedient to the will of God, to be obedient to what God wants from them. In Revelation chapter 22, so we get in the beginning, Adam and Eve disobedient to God. And in Revelation chapter 22, the last pages of the Bible, we read the following, verse 14 of Revelation 22. It says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." You see, there's a blessing there. There's a blessing on everyone who obey God. When it says obey his commandments, it means obey what God has commanded. Obey what God has said. That's basically what it means. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe that we should obey God so that we can be blessed. I believe that we should obey God because he is worthy to be obeyed. And because he expects us to obey him. Because he is God. God not only expects us to be obedient, he commands us, he demands obedience from every single person that he creates. We spoke about it last week when we spoke about Jeremiah. God can demand obedience, and he does. And if people are disobedient, they are sinning against him. And he has all the right to judge them because of their disobedience. And why can God do that? Because he's God. He is the creator. Interesting what Jesus said to his disciples. He said to them in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, he says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord," which means master, king, supreme in authority, the one that's got highest authority in your life. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" How can you say that you are, that I am your master, that I am your king, that I am in control of your life, and you don't do what I say? How can you do that? It doesn't fit. How can we say that we serve God and we love him and we don't do what he says? We're disobedient to him. And so many times we're disobedient to in the small things that are so clear in his word. One of those things, forgive one another. Brother Eric read it this morning. Do not lie to one another. Speak the truth to one another. There are so many things of the to one another's in the Bible, in the New Testament. And how many of those things do we disobey? And we can hide behind our humanity and say, "Oh, but I'm just a sinner saved by grace." No, God demands obedience. He commands it and he demands it because he's God. And he expects it from us. You see, obedience is part and parcel of our worship of God through Christ Jesus. How do I know that somebody worships God? I look at their obedience to God and what he says. Obedience is key to living a Christian life. And Samuel, I believe, was an amazing example. Right, so Samuel says to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Now notice that Samuel says that it's better to obey the voice of the Lord. What is the voice of the Lord? What is he speaking about? I believe he's talking about God's instructions. He's talking about God's commandments. He's talking about whatever God has revealed to us. His revealed will, if you may. Where do we find it? We find it in the 66 books of the Old and the New Testament. That's why there's no way that I can be obedient to God if I don't know what he says. That's why I need to read the Bible so I can know what God expects from me, so that I can obey him. But if I don't read the scriptures, and if I only read the passages that I like, because there are passages in the Bible that is not that nice to read, I just read the ones that I want, and I just read the ones that I like, and that's where I get stuck, because those are the things that I kind of, I can do those things. Instead of obeying God's word, because to obey the voice of the Lord is to obey whatever God has revealed to us. And that's a mouthful. When we obey the voice of the Lord, we are obedient to his word, whatever he revealed to us. Now, I said it before, I want to repeat it. Justin Peters said, if you want to hear God speak, if you want to hear the voice of God, read your Bible. You will hear God speak. And if you want to hear him speak audibly, read your Bible aloud. And you will hear him audibly. Because what is written in the Bible, the words that are written, the moment we read it, we are reading the Word of God. We are listening to the voice of God to us. And Samuel says, to obey the voice of the Lord, to obey what God has said to us, is far better than doing all the religious stuff. That's my interpretation. That is my words. If we want to be obedient to the voice of God, as Samuel so clearly said to Saul, because that was the problem with Saul. Saul was not obedient to the voice of God. He did not listen to the voice of God. We need to obey God's word, every aspect of it. And let me tell you, it's a lifelong challenge. You're not going to get it right today. And you're not going to get it right tomorrow, not next week, not the week after that, not the month after that. It's a lifelong challenge for us to be obedient to every aspect of God's revealed will for our lives and everything that God has commanded. Something that we can keep ourselves busy with for the rest of our lives and glorify God in the process of being obedient to him. As I said before, when we obey God's word, there is a blessing in it for us. You see, God doesn't just expect us to obey him. He blesses us when we are obedient. We don't obey him because we want to be blessed. It's just how God works. He blesses those who are obedient to him. He blesses the work of our hands. He blesses the speech of our mouths. He blesses our families. He blesses the things that we do and that we are involved in. God just does it when we are obedient to him. He does it. That's the amazing thing about God. I just want to throw this in quickly because I read it somewhere and it just really caught my attention. When we pray for ourselves and we pray that God will bless us, or I pray for somebody else that God would bless somebody else, or I pray for the church, or we pray for the church that God will bless this church, you know what we are praying? that each and every one of us will be obedient to God's voice. Because there is blessing in obedience. When we are obedient, God's blessing follows. So you cannot pray for somebody to be blessed without that person being obedient. That just kind of caught my attention when I read it. And I thought to myself, wow, it just gives more context whenever I pray. So if I pray for you that God will bless you and keep you, that his face may shine upon you and give you his peace, if I pray that God will bless you, I am physically praying that you will be obedient to him in all aspects of your life, obedient to his revealed will. Because it's then that God will bless us. In the life of Saul, for example, he became disobedient to the voice of God. And listen to 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. This is what happened to Saul, the king of Israel. And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever." Look at that blessing that Saul would have received. That the kingdom over Israel would have been established forever. That would have been the blessing of Saul. Which basically means that through Saul and his descendants, the Messiah would come to establish the everlasting kingdom forever and ever. But it didn't happen to Saul. And why? Because of his disobedience. Verse 14 says, "But now your kingdom shall not continue." Which just basically means that God says, "I will not bless your descendants. I will not bless you any longer. I'm going to withdraw my blessing from you." Why? Because of your disobedience. And it's disobedience to God's revealed will. It's what God actually told Saul, and he was disobedient to what God has said. And he continues to say that the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. So what has now happened is, God said, "Saul, I'm going to remove your kingdom. You will not have a kingdom that will be eternal. I have sought a man after my own heart." We know who that was. That's King David. And through David's lineage, Messiah would come, who would establish the everlasting kingdom. So he'd sought a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what God commanded you. These are earth-shaking words. The first king to Israel, anointed by God himself to be the king of Israel, became disobedient to God to the point where God had to destroy his kingdom, transfer it to another through whom the Messiah would come that would establish the everlasting kingdom. Saul lost his blessing. Because for Saul, I think, it was too hard to be obedient to God. Maybe it was because Saul was so great in himself that he felt he didn't have to be obedient, because he's now king, isn't he? He's king over Israel. He's king of his life. God is no longer king. He's now king. So he can do whatever he pleases and whatever he wants. See, brothers and sisters, Samuel teaches us that obedience is key to living a life which pleases God. And if you are disobedient, there will be consequences. But now you can say, "But whoa, wait. We're under grace. Isn't God's grace sufficient to cover my disobedience? Wasn't Christ completely obedient on my behalf? Of course. Of course it is, if it is sufficient. God's grace is always sufficient. That does not take away our responsibility to be obedient. And that's what people do, is they make grace so cheap that there's no obedience in grace. So I can do whatever I want, live whatever way I want, and not carry any consequences? That's not true. That's not how it works. Disobedience always have consequences. What I sow, I will reap. Doesn't mean that I lose my salvation. Salvation is a gift. But God's blessing is always connected to obedience. Obedience to His revealed will. Obedience to obeying His voice. I read this poem. I'm nearly done. I read this poem. It summarizes what I believe obedience to God should mean to us as believers. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me way and walk me not. You call me life and desire me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not. It was Jesus who said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In plain English, if you love me, do what I tell you. Obey me. You see, beloved, obedience is evidence of our love for Christ. Obedience is evidence of our submission to God's will. Obedience is evidence of our acceptance of God's sovereignty over our lives. Obedience is the physical expression of our spiritual walk with the Lord. Obedience is key to our spiritual walk with the Lord. The question is, are we obedient? And as I said before, it's only possible to be obedient because Christ was obedient to His Father to the point of death on the cross. His obedience makes it possible for us who are saved to obey the Word of God, to be obedient to His voice. The challenge is, and that's the challenge for each one of us, is this: will we obey the voice of the Lord? See, for obedience is crucial in living a Christian life. It is a crucial key to living a Christian life which pleases the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your loving kindness towards us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for an example like Samuel, who was willing to speak on your behalf when you called him He was obedient. And he continued to live a life of obedience so that we can see what obedience looks like. Thank you for Christ, who was obedient even unto death on the cross. And thank you, Father, that we can be obedient to the gospel, the call of the gospel, and be saved. Because it's through your Spirit that we are enabled to be obedient. I pray for each one of us as we go into this week and we apply your word to our lives. Father, may we all be obedient to you, to your voice, as we hear you speak to us and as we apply what you say to us. Because we study your word, we listen to your word, and we obey your word. May it be a reality in each one of our lives, because we know it will glorify you. And that's what we want to do. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.